This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Good morning. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Thanks for choosing WEEI. Dan Ball with you. We got Jacob Lasner back in our Brighton studios on the ones and twos today. Is getting ready for the Super Bowl in a game that, quite honestly, I wish that I could say that I was super excited about, a game that I wish that a lot of NFL fans were excited about. But I think people are more just excited to have football on their screens one more time. They're excited for all the pageantry that comes along with it. Not necessarily excited about the actual matchup that we're going to see, and the fact that we're seeing these two teams again. If you saw either the Buffalo Bills as one of the teams that were in the Super Bowl this year, I think you'd get fans excited. If you saw the Washington Commanders as one of the two teams, though I'm not sure either team would win, I just think both of the teams that ended up bowing out in the AFC and the NFC championship games might have garnered a bit more fan favor. You would have had a rooting interest, a David versus Goliath, a first time to see something that just, that gives us a reason, especially here in New England, because, I mean, the hopes of a playoff berth were done by the time we were carving our turkey. But, you know, if nothing else, it would give you something to root for. But that's revisionist history, and that is not what we have here today. We have Kansas City, and we have Philadelphia. By the way, text from the 774, Dan, good morning. Marshy not going anywhere. Go Birds. Couple good thoughts in there. Ultimately, I would agree. We just wrapped up talking about the Bruins, and I would talk about them all day if I could, but I can't, so I won't. I would be surprised to see them actually sack up and move their captain, but I think if you're looking to recoup as many assets in a short amount of time as possible, he's the asset you have. Trent Frederick, especially given the contract, isn't really worth that much. Morgan Geeky's building up a bit of favor, but I wouldn't necessarily be looking to move a guy who could be a 20-goal scorer for you right away. But then again, you know, you can recoup assets. Maybe you re-sign it back. Whatever. Same deal with Brandon Carlo. I don't know how much value those guys actually get you back. You don't have valuable assets that you can trade, except for your captain. But ultimately, it's a big decision that you'd have to make, and I don't really think that they're going to have the stomach to do that. But, all right, back to the game we go. Again, you can hear it right here on EEI at 6:30. We have Paul Hambakidis from ESPN coming up at 9:30. Mackenzie Brooks from CBS and Sports Interactive to get you set from a betting perspective at 10:30 on the show here today. Kansas City, two-time defending Super Bowl champions. What we can also root for in this, or at least as sports fans be fascinated by, and I think this is going to be the prevailing thought for a lot of people, is history. We've never seen a three-time consecutive Super Bowl champion before. This is Kansas City's fifth Super Bowl appearance in the last six seasons. Golly, can't even believe I'm saying that out loud. but it's true. And what we are seeing, which sets up a really interesting fan dynamic, is the next modern day dynasty coming off of the New England Patriots dynastic run beginning in the early 2000s, and then, you know, kind of taking a back seat, a couple of Super Bowl berths and losses to the Giants, and really a lot of questions in the mid-2010s of, is this thing over? Then the second wave of the dynasty hit for the New England Patriots. So what we here in New England have to watch, and this is also something I'm curious about, how do Patriots fans view what Kansas City is doing when measured against what New England did? So the balance between the, let's say, the first half of the dynasties is pretty similar, where the Patriots, they were 5-11 in their first year under Belichick. The Chiefs were always over 500 with Andy Reid and Alex Smith. They just never did anything in the playoffs. Then the Patriots win 3 Super Bowls in 4 seasons. The Chiefs have won 3 Super Bowls in 5. And now you have the chance to one-up the first half of the Patriots dynasty. Now, what I would posit, what I would argue, is you still have to match this kind of success for another decade, essentially. You're now 5, 6, 7 years into this dynasty. If you're trying to measure dynasty to dynasty, what was so remarkable about the way the Patriots did it were those 3 Super Bowls in 5 years, almost a decade removed from the first Super Bowls that you won. Andy Reid has already started to kind of lay the groundwork of maybe he's starting to look at either retirement or moving to TV or just continuing to do all his State Farm commercials and just kind of making his money that way. He's already had to come out and publicly state, hey, I'm going to be coaching next year, which is never a good sign if you're talking about, you know, somebody sticking around for the long haul. If you have to clarify it, that usually means that you're closer to the end than the beginning when it comes to the coaching career of Andy Reid. So this conversation really, really kind of boils down to Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady. Mahomes is already 7th all-time in playoff passing yards, 5th in touchdowns. He is the best passer rating in the playoffs of any quarterback ever. And he's already 2nd in playoff wins. Brady has 35. Mahomes has 17. So it doesn't appear that Andy Reid is going to be on the sideline for the remainder of Patrick Mahomes' career to directly match the Brady-Belichick partnership that we saw for nearly 20 years. So this is specifically to me a conversation of the Patrick Mahomes dynasty versus the Tom Brady dynasty. And Mahomes does have the chance today to one up the greatest of all time when it comes to Act One of his career, just in terms of Super Bowl wins and the building of a dynasty. That all being said, the conversation that I've seen floating around of, well, if Mahomes wins on Sunday, he's the GOAT already, or it's 1A and 1B. No, it's not. Mahomes can be the most talented quarterback that you've ever seen. That's what Dan Orlovsky said a couple of weeks ago. Brady's the greatest and Mahomes is the best. You want to start to argue that with me in terms of, you know, Mahomes' ability to scramble and improvise and throw left-handed and be Mahomey, as Tony Romo says, well, he's slobbering all over him. You want to argue that with me? Fine. We're still a decade away from knowing how these two compare. Can Mahomes have the leg up in Act 1, the first 10-year snapshot, 7, 8, 9, 10-year snapshot if he wins again today or wins again next year and loses today? Sure. I'll fully throw my hand up and say that. But it's not – there's a longevity part of this conversation that we're still years and years and years away from seeing. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this at 617-779-7937. How do you measure what Mahomes has done to this point and what Kansas City has done to this point against what the Patriots did? Are they different? I think the timeline is extremely, extremely similar. Very, very, very close. And the one deviation would be a win for Kansas City today. They're facing an extremely talented Philadelphia team. This is going to be a hell of a challenge. We've said this before. We've said this before about Kansas City, and we've said it before for years and years about New England when they played the greatest show on turf and, you know, slayed other dragons that were floating around in the early part of the 2000s in the NFL. We said it before, they did it anyways. Kansas City has a big old challenge on their hands with a top 10, a consistent top 10 offense matched up with a league best defense and a completely overhauled defense from a year ago with much better play calling than a year ago. It's going to be a different challenge, and quite honestly, it's going to be akin to the challenge they saw 2 years ago when they, oh, that's right, won the Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles. I will say this until I'm blue in the face. I want to root for Philadelphia so hard. I want to bet them. I want to believe that they're going to win. I don't. And I hope I get to turn around tomorrow and say, hey, guys, I'm wrong. I just don't think I'm going to be. I really don't. Couple texts before we head to our trending with our good friend Jacob Lasner from the 401. I think the buildup to today would have been more interesting, but I think once we get to tonight, it will be the best situation slash game. That's a good point. We kind of the buildup has certainly been quelled by the fact that I think a lot of us know how this is going to play out. It's going to be a close game. We kind of think that Kansas City is going to win, but we're hoping for Philadelphia to win. There really is no. There's no mystery in the matchup, and that's partly because we saw this exact same thing 2 years ago, but also partly because it's pretty easy to predict how this is going to go. We had a texture in the first hour say 30-20 Philly. I think that's a much bigger margin than we're going to see. I think the vast majority of people, if you asked them, put a number on the exact margin of victory in tonight's game, would say 3 points or less. That would be my guess as to what people would say. Also from the 508, Mahomes will never match Brady because Brady beat him in the AFC Championship game with the Patriots. He also demolished him in the Super Bowl with the Bucks. That is a great point. And that is a resume item that I saw mentioned yesterday, and I'm so glad that this person brought it up. Because it does make the challenge, in my mind, a little bit more daunting for Mahomes to overcome. That's always going to be held over him. Now, I will also say that we saw this week the value of head-to-head wins was sullied a little bit because Eli Manning was not put into the Hall of Fame despite having the two wins over Brady deal. But again, we are talking about matchups. This is the GOAT conversation. So it's completely different, and I recognize that, but it's just interesting to see how people weigh head-to-head matchups in certain conversations versus others. That's significant in this conversation, is the head-to-head matchup. And that's going to be something that is brought up as Patriots fans will continue to defend the wall on who they believe is the GOAT no matter what. If, say for example, both players tie in terms of the amount of championships that they win in their career, they both have the same amount of rings on their finger, and maybe they're brash and overconfident enough with their ego to wear them to the NFL honors multiple years after they're gone like a certain somebody did. Jacob, by the way, you texted me a picture this morning. Do you want to describe late last night? Do you want to describe the picture that you dug up and sent my way?
Yeah, I think it is a picture of Bill Belichick with his girlfriend wearing she was wearing an Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl champion shirt. So I guess it was like a misprint or something or extras that they had. I wonder how they got that shirt.
Yeah, it's kind of like you kind of hear the tongue in cheek thing of the they print up T-shirts for both teams for championships and then the losers get sent to, you know, Zimbabwe or some other country. Yeah, I don't know how she was able to get it, But I reacted to that photo the same way, Jacob, that I reacted to the Belichick with his all 100 jacket and six rings on there, just going, the ego on these people. It's almost it you can't help but laugh at it, or not laugh at, but just chuckle at the sheer ego and the look at me that comes across with doing something like that. It's impressive to me, that the level of ego that comes across there.
Yeah, I can confirm that.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate that. All right, 617-779-7937. How do the Brady and Patriots dynasty match up with the Mahomes and Chiefs dynasty if Kansas City wins or loses today? You can call, you can text, you can let us know. Paul Hembekidis of ESPN coming up at 9:30, but coming up right now, it is Jacob Lasner and what's...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Branding. Back here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Paul Hembakidis of ESPN's Get Up joining us in just a couple of moments. Not screaming at you to get up, but if you are and you're with us, thanks so much for doing that. A quick text to address before we get into our conversation with Hembo from the 508. The bigger question is, will Andy Reid pass Belichick as the GOAT of coaches? So some of the numbers that come across between these two, just to kind of add context to that conversation, Andy Reid is one of five coaches with 3 Super Bowl wins, and only 2 have 4 or more. Belichick, as a head coach, of course, has 6. Reid is 66 years of age and has 273 career wins in the regular season, which is 4th all time. Belichick was 71, meanwhile, during the 2023 season, finished with 302 regular season wins. Don Shula, 1st all time, 328. So those are the numbers that contextualize where this conversation goes. Reid moves into a tie for 2nd place with 4 Super Bowl wins if he wins today. He is still a handful, a couple seasons worth of games away from reaching Belichick, and he's admittedly got a while to go if he were to stick around to try to catch Don Shula. Reid would have to stick around for most of Patrick Mahomes' career in order to set those kind of records. Now, the question gets kind of interesting because of the way things ended in New England and the way the things kind of ramped down the other side of the mountain, so to speak. But numerically speaking, no, he does not reach the GOAT status with a win today. He probably supplements supplants himself as a top 5 coach of all time, because you're talking about one of 3 coaches with 4 or more Super Bowl wins, and you're already talking about a guy who's 4th all time in regular season wins, and you'd have to add in the playoff numbers. But again, he's probably top 2, top 3 when you add in playoff wins with that as well. So if he's not already a top 5 coach, he probably is. He certainly cements that, and will probably cement a top 4, or top 3 coach if he wins today. I don't give him the GOAT quite yet, because there is a longevity aspect to Bill Belichick of 5 more years of life that were spent coaching than Reid has done right now. Just because Andy Reid says to the media, "Hey, I'm coaching for, I'm definitely coming back for one more season," doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to hang it up in 1 year's time. I thought it was interesting. I mean, I would not have been completely surprised. Or not shocked, maybe surprised but not shocked is the right balance. If Kansas City wins today, they three-peat, and Andy Reid goes, "Listen, hand up, I'm done. I've done my best, and I'm going to go out, I'm going to ride high, I'm going to ride off into the sunset." If he did that, would anybody have blamed him? I certainly wouldn't have. But maybe there's more to accomplish, and as those numbers show, he's got a little bit of work left to be done to get to those historic level numbers, but he's right there. And also, this doesn't necessarily go into the GOAT conversation. I don't think it's weighed as heavily as Super Bowl victories or regular season victories, but I think reputation is something that can certainly be brought up here. When's the last time you heard a negative word about somebody who played for Andy Reid? It's been a while, and we've spent a lot of the last year plus talking about Bill Belichick, and it hasn't necessarily been in the most positive light. But we're going to bring in another voice on this conversation. Joining us right now here on WEEI, you can see him on Get Up every single morning on ESPN. That is my good friend Paul Hembakidis. Hembo, great to catch up with you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm a little bit surprised you're bringing me in on the Super Bowl stuff. I thought we were going to dive into Roman Anthony. I thought we were going to dive into the Alex Bregman, you know, free agent rumors. I mean, look, we can talk about this insignificant Super Bowl. I mean, I'm in a hotel room in New Orleans. I'm looking down at this beautiful yet filthy city at the same time. I'm a 25-year-long Eagles fan, so we can do it. But I just thought we were going to talk some socks. But wherever you want to take me, my friend, I will follow.
Well, I mean, if you're giving me the green light to talk Red Sox, I will do that with you every day and twice here on Sunday. That's for sure. We'll get into the game. You know what? Honestly, let's do it real quick. I love the Sox, so I'm curious to get your take on where the Sox sit right now. Not only the case of what fans are lusting for, which is really the lone top right-handed bat left on the market, which is Alex Bregman, but say that the Red Sox don't land that kind of player. Are the incoming young studs of Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell, in addition to the addition of Garrett Crochet, enough to elevate the Sox back to a playoff spot this year?
The answer is yes, but if you don't sign Alex Bregman, the bar to clear is pretty high for the young players. And okay. You obviously know this from having followed this team on a daily basis, or just in general, in terms of what prospects do upon being called up. It's sort of like playing a lottery to some extent, because it would not surprise me if those guys were getting at bats in the playoffs for Boston this season, nor would it surprise me if they came up and struggled mightily. Like, there's such a Russian roulette when it comes to what you're going to expect from some of these young players. I think Garrett Crochet's going to shove because he's got top 10 stuff in the whole sport. I'm not exactly sure how many innings he's going to throw, but the question as it relates to the lineup and the young and the prospects that will potentially make their debut this season, to me, that's very challenging to predict, because you might have a first division prospect with all the makings who just mashes in the minor leagues, shows up and just can't do it. Just ask, you know, Jackson Holliday, ask Mike Trout. So those things are well documented over the course of time. On the other hand, you might have an Evan Carter type debut and help your team win the World Series, because the reps that you've got in the minor leagues are enough. The league hasn't figured you out yet, and you wind up shoving. Like, that's also on the list of options for Boston. Given the current constitution of the roster, I view the Red Sox as a fringe playoff team. To me, like, if the season started tomorrow, I'd give them a basically a coin flip chance to make the playoffs, which I would say I'm higher on them in consensus, but I don't think it's a slam dunk by any means. That being said, and I'm sort of roundabouting my answer here intentionally, because I do believe that Alex Bregman and Fenway Park is a match made in heaven. And you don't have to go back that far to find another proxy for how that could work exceedingly well for him. And the person for whom he can sort of draw that comparison is Adrian Beltre, who rebuilt his value for 1 year. Look, the Red Sox signed him for a one-year, $10 million deal when he was 30 years old. Alex Bregman, 30 years old in a suppressed market. Adrian Beltre shows up, leads the majors with 49 doubles in a ballpark where righties obviously double more so than they do in any other ballpark, and goes and signs a 6-year deal with Texas and winds up in the Hall of Fame in large part because of the value that he rebuilt in Boston for 1 year. So if you're Alex Bregman and you're surveying the landscape and you're asking yourself, okay, I'm not going to sign a 9-figure contract somewhere. In fact, I'm going to go rebuild my value somewhere aside from Houston. Where should I do that? The answer to that question is Boston. We have more than 100 years of data that say that will help him. And we have the Adrian Beltre example of someone who is a very similar, with a similar swing, that plays the same position, that had a wonderful experience with Boston, had an 8-WAR year that season, and wound up using it as a springboard to sign with the Texas Rangers. So that was an awful lot of baseball, but that's obviously where I wanted to start.
It was music to my ears, not only because you know me, I'm a huge baseball fan, but I look outside the window of my apartment right now, and it is still snowing to the high heavens here in Massachusetts. So that was the sunny disposition that I needed from you, Hembo. But I do want to dive into the game. You've been down in New Orleans, so you've been seeing it play out firsthand. How would you describe the feeling of football fans as they perceive this Super Bowl versus past ones? Because I feel like, at least here in Boston, we're sensing a little bit of boredom, maybe some apathy around this year's matchup.
You've nailed it. There is considerable Chiefs fatigue for all the obvious reasons, and the team that they're playing is not exactly a team that has endeared themselves to the country. Like, on balance, look, I'm from Philadelphia. I've rooted for the Eagles for 25 years. I am more than happy to acknowledge that we are obnoxious, and we are proud of it. Like, our slogan is, no one likes us, we don't care. Like, you can't right. get more masochistic than that. That's who we are. That's how we roll. And so, like, for a National fan, for someone with no rooting interest, you're nauseated because you watch the Chiefs play every year. You have Patrick Mahomes and the refs and Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and, like, all that nonsense, right? That's a hard thing to stomach. On the other side, you have a Philadelphia Eagles team that doesn't exactly wrap themselves in glory from the perspective of, you know, national sentiment. A head coach that has annoyed a lot of people around the country, and a quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who I think is likable, but certainly not endearing by any stretch of the imagination. So I think from your perch in Boston, I mean, the most interesting reason to watch this game is to hear Tom Brady on the mic, I think, candidly. And the way that Tom Brady talks about Patrick Mahomes in this game, it's funny because, you know, imagine a scenario in which Michael Jordan's, you know, a courtside calling NBA finals in which LeBron James is playing. I mean, that's a very ESPN kind of nauseating narrative, but truthfully, yeah. Tom Brady's going to have a consequential impact on, you know, Patrick Mahomes' legacy, and of course, one's chasing the other. And so, to me, that's actually a very interesting subplot of this game. If you're just like a general football fan not interested in rooting for either side here, is how is Tom Brady going to talk about the guy that's coming for his throne? That's a very interesting subplot too, but apathy is definitely a good way to describe it. I don't think this is going to be a Super Bowl that rates extraordinarily well, but I do think it's going to be a game that does sort of live up to the hype and deliver in a big way.
When we speak about Patrick Mahomes, at this point, he's vaulted himself into the Brady greatest of all time GOAT conversation. He's already second in career playoff wins behind Brady. Now, Brady is more than doubling him with that number, but we're also talking about a guy who's played less than half the years that Tom Brady did. So if Patrick Mahomes wins another Super Bowl, what should the conversation be when we talk about probably the two greatest quarterbacks of all time, at least with what the sample size is that we have of Patrick Mahomes right now?
There is nothing that boils my blood more than when you're going to hear people this upcoming week, if indeed the Chiefs win this game, say that Patrick Mahomes has passed Tom Brady because he did something that Tom Brady never did, and that, of course, is three-peat. You can lose me on that. As you well know, here's the metaphor I'll make, right? So the hardest race to run is a marathon. Tom Brady ran that race better than anyone in the history of pro football. And the notion that Patrick Mahomes doing this one specific thing leapfrogs what Tom Brady accomplished in his career in totality is blasphemous. I'm not suggesting that Patrick Mahomes isn't a better player, but Tom Brady is a demonstrably greater player based on what he has accomplished. And that won't change based upon the result of tonight. Like, lest we forget the extent to which he dominated pro football for two decades. We're never going to see anything like that again. Patrick Mahomes is having the greatest 20s, perhaps of any athlete in the history of sports. But let's not lose sight of the extraordinary longevity of what Tom Brady accomplished. That, to me, is a very challenging place to be. What Tom Brady did in his 40s in Tampa, what Tom Brady did in 2014, 16, and 18, what Tom Brady accomplished at an age in which Patrick Mahomes will probably be retired by then, it's not something that can be sneezed at. Like, we can have an honest assessment of this stuff and say, look, Patrick Mahomes is on schedule or even ahead of Tom Brady's pace without being super reductive and super overreactionary and saying that he has passed him. That's ridiculous. Tom Brady has accomplished more than any player in the history of pro football, and that's not going to change based on what happens tonight. So that's something that I feel very strongly about. I am someone deeply rooted in sports history, as you well know. And that would be a deeply ahistorical opinion to have. If Patrick Mahomes wins today, yes, he will have done something that Brady never did, but he is still far away from usurping Tom Brady as the greatest of all time.
We're speaking with Paul Hembekaitis of ESPN here on WEEI. You can follow him across social medias at Paul Hembo. And a shameless plug, you can also purchase, speaking of his deep dives into history and statistics, Got Your Number and Got Your Answers, the books that he co-wrote with Mike Greenberg. They're fantastic gifts. I know we're outside of the holiday season, but still, I have them both. They're great reads just for the sports fan in your life.
I appreciate that, bud.
Of course. Let's talk about your team in Philadelphia. It's been a fascinating three-year stretch under Nick Sirianni where you get to a Super Bowl and lose, start a season last year 10-1, then go 1-5, lose in the playoffs, and have a lot of questions surrounding your team going into 2024. But they've once again been fantastic. And it seems that the galvanizing factor this year, at least to me, and coming from our conversations in New York, this probably isn't a huge surprise, is Saquon Barkley. Is it possible to characterize how big of an impact that he has had both on the field and off the field for your Eagle squad?
No, you can't overstate it, but I think that you're only you're only flipping one side of the coin. I don't think it's possible to overstate the extent to which Vic Fangio, our first-year defensive coordinator, has impacted the other side of the ball. So I'm not suggesting anything that you said was wrong. I just think telling the story of the 2024 Philadelphia Eagles needs to be told from a two-pronged front. Saquon Barkley and his greatness this season has changed the organization in ways I never would have imagined. Did you know that the Eagles have outrushed their passing game this season, which is to say they have more rushing yards than passing yards entering the Super Bowl? The last time a team won the Super Bowl with that profile was the Steelers in 1975. We're seeing the Eagles win in a way we've not seen a team do, by the way, also with a Penn State running back as its anchor, in 50 years. What the Eagles are doing this season on the back of Saquon Barkley is extraordinary. However, it is an environment that is obviously perfect for a player of his stature, because Jeff Stoutland and the offensive line that he coaches, I mean, that's a quintet of barbarians. And Saquon Barkley went from being a good back to a Hall of Fame back in large part because of the environment. He didn't do anything different necessarily except stay healthy, but it goes to show you that if you put the right player in the right spot, obviously, what could happen is extraordinary. And Jalen Hurst, to his everlasting credit, has been willing to change the way that he approaches his game despite public criticism because of the presence of Saquon Barkley. And yet, I would make the argument that Vic Fangio has been even more impactful than Saquon Barkley, because this defense went from being a major liability to literally the number one defense in the NFL. And if, in case you've not heard, I looked up this week and discovered that the number one defense in the NFL is 10-2 in the history of the Super Bowl, and those outcomes have, on balance, not been all that close. So my operating theory is that with 2 weeks to prepare for the Super Bowl, for whatever reason, over the course of a dozen games, which is about an inconsequential sample size, that extra rest does benefit the defense and does benefit the team that has a superior one. So to me, the story of the 2024 Eagles needs to be told through the additions, through the prism of the additions of Saquon Barkley and, of course, Vic Fangio.
All right, Hembo, your last answer was probably a bit of a nod to your next answer, but before we let you go, the very simple question: who's going to win this game by how much and why?
The Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl. The score is going to be 33-24. Jake Elliott's going to miss an extra point, and that's why we're going to get a weird score. Here's how I'm looking at this from 30,000 feet, but I need you to check me on it with my bias. I'm currently walking around in my hotel room with a cup of coffee wearing a Brian Dawkins jersey, okay? So that's the extent to which I'm biased. I'm a 34-year-old man, but I'm also acting like I'm seven. But God's honest truth is this. I think there are two likely outcomes for this game. Outcome number one, the Chiefs win a game in the low 20s by something like a field goal or 4 points, because Patrick Mahomes is diabolical in late and close situations, and I don't trust anyone that has ever lived to stop him if indeed it's a coin flip at the very end. The other likely outcome is the Eagles win the game by something like 1-2 scores, because the roster will just overwhelm Kansas City's. I'm not going to say it will look like the Tampa Bay Super Bowl. They won that game by 22 points. I'd be surprised if the Eagles won this game by 22 points, but it is a roster that can overwhelm you. It's a position group everywhere across the board that you would say you'd favor the Eagles over the Chiefs. And so I think those are the two likeliest outcomes, my friend. Chiefs by 3, Eagles by 10. But given the fact that I'm walking around my hotel wearing a Brian Dawkins jersey and all the objective methodology that I use tells me the Eagles are going to win, I'm going to pick the Eagles to win, and I'm going to give you the score of 33-24.
Okay, appreciate the honesty and the objectivity, or supposed objectivity, in your picks of that. But again, if you haven't already, follow Hembo on X at Paul Hembo, and make sure you watch him on Get Up on ESPN. You can hear him on ESPN Radio, and make sure you purchase his books with Mike Greenberg as well. Hembo, great to catch up with you here on WEEI. Thank you for the time. Hope you and your wonderful family are doing well, and we'll catch up again when we have a much better excuse to talk baseball.
I don't know if your boss is listening, but if he is, you are absolutely fabulous at what you do. I wish you nothing but the best, and I look forward to us talking again in the near future. Thanks, bud.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. That is Paul Hembekides of ESPN joining us here on WEEI. We'll react to his assertions about how this Super Bowl will turn out, and we'll do that next. Back here on WEEI, special thanks to Paul Hembekides of ESPN for joining us to give his perspective, both biased and objective, on the Super Bowl coming up this evening. And if you missed it, you can catch up on this entire show, as well as our conversation with Hembo on the Odyssey app. You can also download the WEEI weekend shows wherever you get your podcasts as well. So if you missed it, you can catch up in that way. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to call, you'd like to text, reacting to Hembo and giving your own thoughts on what this Super Bowl means for the legacy of the Kansas City Chiefs as well as the Philadelphia Eagles. I was reading some of the text going through
going through while we were talking to Hembo. First of all, from the 617, for me, I can't decide who I think is more insufferable, Travis Kelce or Philly fans. If I had to root for one side, I guess I would root for Philly. And that's also an element to why I think people are kind of looking at this Super Bowl in a negative light. We've gotten more than enough of the Mahomes, Kelce, and Reed trio off the field. This isn't even talking about the fact that they're in every primetime slot imaginable, and every color commentator loves to go out of their way to say amazing things about how awesome Patrick Mahomes is as a quarterback, and oh my God. And then, oh, let's pan up to the booth, and there's Taylor Swift hugging Travis Kelce's mom and whatever. Then you cut to commercial, and it's Jake from State Farm talking to Patrick Mahomes. How am I not supposed to get sick of that? And I think that's a key difference between the mindset around the Patriots and the mindset around the Chiefs. This very well could be an extremely biased thing that I'm about to say. But there wasn't nearly as much of the "we're having this dynasty shoved down our throats" as football fans in New England. They won a lot. They were in big games. Yes, they were in primetime games and whatever else, but there wasn't, and this was also happening in an age where social media was much more in its infancy, and then you didn't quite see the same eagerness of brands to attach themselves to athletes just at the 360 scope that you do. That's television commercials, that's Instagram, that's Twitter, that's Facebook, that's audio, like radio, and podcasting. It's just, media is such a, has grown and changed and dominates life, and the Chiefs are everywhere on it. The faces of the Kansas City Chiefs are everywhere, where you simply cannot avoid seeing them. If you're a sports fan, we're about to be in the offseason starting tomorrow, which is, by the way, is when the conversations for the Patriots actually get relevant again. But we're about to be in the offseason tomorrow. You're still not going to be able to lose sight of them, because the conversation on network TV is going to be all about whoever wins or whoever loses, what's the legacy? Same stuff we're talking about today. And I'm contributing to the problem by telling this to you now. I'm doing a 3-hour show, and 2.5 hours worth of it is about the Super Bowl. I understand that I am part of the problem, but that doesn't make it any less true that they are everywhere. And I think that there's an overexposure element about the Chiefs that wasn't necessarily the same when the Patriots were doing what they were doing, especially in the early 2000s, but even in the mid-2010s. So I think there's a large portion of sports fans that are just sick to death of seeing them anywhere, of hearing the name, of seeing the clips, of seeing the Kelce podcast, and all that other stuff. So that, I think, is really contributing to where the rooting interests are of NFL fans here today. People don't like Philly. Hembo said it. He's a Philly guy. You don't like us, we don't care. We know. But the alternative is rooting for somebody who we are outwardly just sick and tired of hearing about. So I'm going to suck it up and root for you for 3 hours, and then I'm going to metaphorically flush that game down the toilet, and I'm not going to think about it again. I'm going to suck it up and say, yes, I would rather see Philadelphia win. And I'm going to do that from 6:30 till 11 p.m. or whenever the game ends. Right around there. And by midnight tonight, that will be ancient history. I will never have to openly admit that I rooted more for the Eagles in Super Bowl 59. Another conversation coming in from the 508. Brady and Mahomes have different styles of playing quarterback. If Mahomes matches his stats, they will be the greatest in their own ways. Tom Brady was a precision technician. Mahomes a great improviser. I think general fans appreciate more the flashy style of Mahomes versus the death by a thousand paper cuts style of Tom Brady. It's a great point. And it's much like Tom Brady. Kind of boring to admit that. And not flashy in the slightest. Doesn't bring me in great ratings to admit that, but it's true. Though the championships and some of the cold, hard facts, the statistics, will match each other in some way, shape, or form when Patrick Mahomes is done with his career, these are very much apples and oranges that we are comparing between these two quarterbacks. They are both probably going to be the greatest in their own way. But it's never fun to say, yeah, well, they're both great. If we just admitted that LeBron James and Michael Jordan were both the GOATs in the NBA, what would ESPN talk about all season? What would they lead First Take with every single day? That's no fun. We got to debate it. We got to try to pick one over the other. Got to be a hierarchy. So as much as I agree with that assertion, we're never going to live in a dystopian society where we'll be able to just say, yeah, they were both great. We can just live in peace and harmony. Both parties win. Well, both parties lose in that case. All right, let's take a call before we go to break. Jacob, are you back in our booth right now?
Yes, I am. I've been here.
Okay, all right. Let's go to Jay in North Carolina, who has a thought on the Super Bowl. Jay, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I was listening, and I said the guy said that it was probably one of the most apathetic games ever played. You could be right about that. But the X factor is Andy Reid's brain. But okay. I remember a comment by Bill Belichick when he said, I may be the greatest coach around, he said, but I'm not on the field playing. It's the players that determine the game. And I don't mean to make you cry, but defense wins championships. I think Eagles got the better defense.
Yep.
You got to put two guys on Kelsey and seven guys on Mahomes to win this game. But
that's a good point.
Where I'm going with that. I think the Eagles will take it.
Okay, Jay, I appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us and giving your thoughts. And yeah, that's not going to help the interest level of this game unless you are a diehard Ted Johnson sitting in a cubicle by yourself screaming at the TV X's and O's kind of guy. If you're that kind of person watching the game, then absolutely defense will win championships in this one. And Hembo kind of alluded to that as well, and I'm glad that Jay brought it up, where if the Chiefs are going to win, the Chiefs are not going to hang 35 points on the Philadelphia Eagles, not as currently constructed. Their defense is too good and too dynamic. They have elite players at all three levels of their defense. They're not going to do that. It's going to be a ground and pound, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, get it to Travis Kelce for a first down, then back to Kareem Hunt, then back on the ground, then Mahomes will scramble, and it's just going to be chew up clock, chew up clock, chew up clock, Harrison Butker field goal, and maybe force a turnover here or there, make Jalen Hurts make a mistake, get a lot of pressure on him early and get him uncomfortable, load the box and stop Saquon Barkley, though apparently, according to Bill Belichick, that doesn't work. If Kansas City's going to win, it's going to be like nails on a chalkboard. It's going to be like a 17-14, 21-17, just slog of a football game, which I think is another reason that casual NFL fans or fans of other teams might want to root for Philly, because they also have explosive potential on both sides of the ball. They have the two best wide receivers in the game. They don't have the greatest tight ends in the game out of the two, but Dallas Goedert's certainly been productive. They have far and away the best running back in the game. Quarterback, again, greatest Mahomes. Most skilled? Hurts is skilled, man. Not nearly as good of a passer, but he can create with his legs. Depending on how much pressure there is, he can do some work. So the explosive play potential of giving me something fun to root for as a fan lies with the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll move into the 10 o'clock hour, continue our conversation on the Super Bowl. Load up the lines at 617-779-7937. What's your prediction, and why are you feeling the way that you feel about this game? We'll talk with Mackenzie Brooks of CBS Sports and Sportsline about the betting side of today's game at 10:30. But before all of that, the Celtics. Anybody in the non-green teamer land who was worried about the effort that they put up a couple of nights ago? Well, they certainly answered some of those issues, and Jason Tatum set the tone on literally the first play of the game. Despite the injuries, despite illness, all that kind of stuff, an impressive game for the Celtics last night. We talk about that next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.